This is Rambam, that's right. Okay, let's go back over quick synopsis of the last part of what we took. Quick synopsis. We started looking at Nevuah. Last week we saw the Rambam talked about what's another of Avodah Zarah. That doesn't make a difference if the person claims that some deity in power came to him and commanded him to worship me and tell other people all about it. Or if he claims Hashem came to me and said, go worship this star, this power, force of nature, etc., etc., etc. Those are both considered a Navi L'Avodah Zarah. Doesn't make a difference if such a person manages somehow or another to perform the greatest of all miracles. Still doesn't make a difference. Navi L'Avodah Zarah. And the halacha is you kill him. Okay, now when we go on to Navi Hashem, I want to raise, before we start the next section in the Rambam, I want to raise a general question which has been spoken about, as they say, you know, over the last, you know, it's been spoken about by scholars for the last, you know, people are puzzled by it. And the question is if an illiterate shepherd walks in and claims to be a prophet, if Beis Din, if the Jewish court would have the judicial power to enforce justice, would Beis Din kill such a person because he is a Navi Sheker?
How do we know he's a Navi Sheker?
Well, what?
How do we know he's a Navi Sheker?
So he comes in and says, worship me. Or, Torah is not true. And whatever it is, you know, we're about to get to...
Yeah, of course we kill him.
What would...
Why is it any different?
Okay.
Is it because he's a Shota?
What?
Why is it any different?
Okay, we'll see. It's a general question raised. And you're going to see why I'm raising it in a little while. There is a question. We'll see. Yeah, you're saying I agree with you, but we'll see. It's not so simple. Not so straightforward. Straight cut. And we're going to see that there is what to talk about. We'll see why I think what I think. And that's what I'm telling you, there are others out there.
What do you think?
Much more well known than me. What?
What do you think? Yes, no.
We'll see. Savanu. Patience. Okay. Navi Hashem. The first type of Navi Hashem is if a Navi, and it's interesting, the Rambam calls this a Navi Hashem and not a Navi Avodah Zarah. But a Navi comes in, someone claims to be a prophet. He comes in and he claims that God told him to add on or take off any of the mitzvahs that we have already been commanded. That is the first case of a Navi Rasha. Comes in and says, we have a new mitzvah. The mitzvah is to go out and dance on every, I don't know, you know what, Yud Gimel Cheshvan. We need to go out every Yud Gimel Cheshvan and make a big party, or make a Yantif, or make a Chag. Similar, does he bring it? I don't think he brings it. But similar, Yoram ben Nevat. Anyone familiar with Yoram ben Nevat?
Okay.
Yoram ben Nevat, yes, we're familiar with him. He said, what?
First king of Israel.
First king of the Malchus Yisrael, the Malchut Yisrael, that's right. Yoram ben Nevat said, we should celebrate on, instead of celebrating on Tes Vav Tishrei, Sukkos, it's really supposed to be Tes Vav Cheshvan.
You think the guy that's not the two base Midrash?
Well, they weren't base of Mikdash. They were places of worship, not the base of Mikdash. Was it open idol worship or not? That's a big no. That's not simple at all. Okay, that's an example of someone adding in a mitzvah or taking off a mitzvah. The Rambam gives a slightly different example. The Rambam's example is Arva is 3 years. We know that Din Arva, it says in the Pasuk, is 3 years. A Navi comes and says, from now on, Arva is 2 years. Or from now on, Arva is 4 years. Yeah, that is...
That's okay?
No, that's not okay. That
based
is...
On
what?
Based on
Pasuk. Well, he's contradicting... he's arguing that the pasuk says 3 years, and he's coming and saying that no, God told me it's not supposed to be 3 years anymore. Now we have to wait 4 years.
The general idea is based on the pasuk.
He's accepting Allah. He's accepting Allah as a principle. He's just trying to claim that God told him, and when it said, even though it says in Torah one thing, now we're changing it and it's going to be something else.
He's tweaking the details.
You're still what? Changing
he's
it.
Tweaking the details.
Tweaking the, quite, excellent. He's tweaking the details. He's changing the details. Now the Rambam goes on and says, or even if he comes in and says a perush, an explanation, that the Pshuto Shemikra seems to lend itself towards. For example, the pasuk for Boshes, for embarrassment, for the fine of embarrassment. If you embarrass somebody, then then you could take them to court and demand what? We'll see. Yeah, excellent, Doug. First, I want to say it all out so we'll understand it properly. The context in which that fine is said is, it says if two people are fighting with each other, two guys are fighting each other, and one guy has a wife, and his wife comes in and helps him beat up the second guy.
You cut,
yeah. So the pasuk says you cut off her hand. You cut off her hand. Chazal say that doesn't mean you literally cut off her hand. It means boshes. It means she gets a knas. It means there's a fine called boshes and she gets it. So if a nami comes in and claims, when it says the katzos es kapa, you cut off her hand, it doesn't mean knas. It rather means you literally chop. That also is considered a nami sheker who we do not listen to. It doesn't make a difference. In other words, the Rambam is saying it doesn't make a difference. If the Navi Sheker says, it says all in the Torah 2 years, and that's wrong, it's 3 years. It says 3 years all in the Torah, it's wrong, it's 2 years now, it's 4 years now. Or he makes up a mitzvah like you're up in Navat. Or it says in the Torah, it's a different example would be ayin ba'ayin. It says, you give an eye for an eye. Now we know that means mamon. It means you have to pay for the guy's eye. If he says it doesn't mean mamon, it means you take the guy's eye out.
Zayn, how do I know that though?
Let's go. One more step. We're almost there. So the Rambam says, in all of these cases, God is the chedek. He kills such a person also. Why? He's a Navi Sheker. Don't worry, even if he comes and brings some oath, some oath, some wonder, some sign, some miracle, some accurate prediction, we still don't care. Why? Because it says in Torah, it says in the Torah that we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy forever. And Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, which is Torah, is never going to be changed. That's one. He says three things to Rabbah. One. Two, it says in Torah, this is in last week's parasha, in this past week's parasha, it says,
Is this the mitzvah?
It's not too far away from you. It's not in Lubbish Amayini. It's very close to you, in your mouth, and in your hearts to do it. It's in your mouth, in your hearts to do it. The Rambam says, "Beficha, ha-mitzvah ha-yedua al-peh, mitzvahs we know about already, al-vavavacha, ha-svar sh'otzir be'ion, sh'mecha, ha-kachos, ha-dimshachos al-alayv." It's beficha, al-vavacha, and nothing to do with nevuah. Now, this is a very interesting Rambam. This is another. The Rambam first, the first proof, I think he left it. The Rambam first says, and the first reason is, says in the Torah that the Torah is forever, it's never going to be changed. One. Two, it says when the Torah is describing what Torah is, it says that it's b'ficha rov chalasasa, it's in your mouth and your hearts to do. And this is a very interesting statement of the Rambam. Very, very interesting. The Rambam's saying, the Torah is b'ficha rov chalasasa, Torah is b'ficha vav chalasasa, and that means nevuah is not b'ficha vav chalasasa. That's what the Rambam said. Torah is b'ficha vavcha, It is in your mouth and your heart to do it. A Nevuah is not. Why not? So you could say, and this might be true too, that Torah is a natural power part, natural process in Olam Hazeh. Learning Torah is a natural process in Olam Hazeh. It's a natural process. While Nevuah is not a natural process, it's a supernatural process. There could also be, there's a different Rambam. The Rambam says, I think it's in Manavuchim. The Rambam says that even if you're perfectly ready for Nevuah, and you have done every single thing, it doesn't mean it's going to come to you. Torah is a process which I can define. I have Torah, I'm learning Torah. Like we saw earlier in the Rambam, the process of learning Torah, which existed from Matan Torah, from the beginning of Torah, has constantly been in action since then. It's a clear-cut process. That's learning Torah. Nevuah is not the same clear-cut process. Nevuah is, you could do everything and be ready for Nevuah. Chazal says Shmuel Katan was just as fitting to have the Ruach HaKadosh come to him as Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem was, is the door was, it's not dependent on you. Part of Nevuah, part of it is you don't even know when you're ready, that's A. But even if you are completely ready, it's not just something that the Yochid, the individual, can have on his own. So Nevuah, which is not a Vichal of Chazal, that's not part of Torah. That's like beyond Torah. This is a little more complicated. I'm not trying to make things over complicated. But if there was a little more time, if I wasn't trying to get as much done as possible, I would have diverged here. There's an interesting Ramchal, which I'm not... the Ramchal, I'm just going to throw it out as like a general question, nothing to think about it. The Ramchal says that Nevuah has a relationship to human intelligence. In other words, I would say from this Rambam, if you asked me to conclude from the Rambam we've just seen, I'd say Torah and learning Torah is part of the regular human intelligence process, while Nevuah is not. Now the Ramchal says not like that. The Ramchal says that Nevuah is an expansion of the human, it's expanding human intelligence. That's what the Ramchal says. I'm not sure. It would take a lot of, dikdukim, which are, I think, too far afield from what we're doing. But okay, third thing. The last final thing is, it says in Torah, "Baltosif lasosif elav lasigri men." It says there's an issur in the Torah of taking off or adding on mitzvahs. It's been furnished in the Torah two times. You're not allowed to add on and take off. Torah, the way it's given, is the same thing. And as the Rambam concludes, he brings a chazal based on that. A navi rosh v'chadish davar me'ata. A navi does not have the ability through the medium of nevuah to say chidush. Does not happen. So therefore, the Rambam says, if a Navi comes and tries to change part of Torah, whether it is actually changing what's written in the Torah, or re-explaining something in the Torah through the process of Nevuah against what we know, both of those cases, also, even though I'm not 100% sure why it's called a Navi Lashem, it's called a Navi Lashem. He's not mentioning any other power, I guess. So it's a Navi Rasham, but the same, the halach is the same. Umeisa Navi Ahu, he's Chayav Misa, and we kill him. And we don't care. The Rambam says, I think maybe later on or somewhere else, it doesn't matter how white his beard is, it doesn't matter how holy and pious he is, if he goes and does such a thing, he is killed. Okay, now, final category of Navi Hashem, which is a real Navi. A real, what's a real Navi? Shirikul of Ne'alam, yeah. There is a parsha. It doesn't. You're asking good. The parsha in Chumash. It says it's in Dvarim. There's two parshas. There's the parsha in Navi. It's interesting. There's a parsha in Re'eh and a parsha in Shoftim. The parsha in Re'eh is a parsha of Navi Shekhar, and the parsha in Shoftim is a parsha of Navi Emes. But they both have overlap between the two. And you're asking good, and I spoke about it a little before, and we'll speak briefly about it a little more later. But this year is devoted to the Rambam and not to Chumash. No. Because the Parsha is not really clear. In other words, the Parsha says certain things, and like most or many Parshas in Torah, you'll never be able to come to real conclusions without Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's another example of it. This is another example of it. This is not, I don't know, you're familiar with the Mishnah in Chagiga, about, you know, compares the different parts of the Torah. Shabbos says Hilchos Hilchot Shabbat. Shabbos is like a great mountain standing up on one strand of here. Familiar with the Mishnah? What? No? Yes? No?
No.
No. Okay. Shabbos, it says just one pasuk. Lo sa'as on the walker. Don't work. Don't do work. There's one big fat mesecht on it. Right? That all comes from one pasuk. Now, on the other hand, there are things like Baba Kama has some more. You know, Baba Kama has more. There's a couple of parashas. It's not that much, though. It's just a small part of Mishpatim. But Kachim and Tyrus have a lot of very long parashas in the Torah. Saras has very long parashas in the Torah. You know, biblical leprosy. Very long parashas in the Torah. That, as the Mishnah says, Hain Gufei Torah. This is real. This is Ki'il. I don't know. Goof. There's a clear parallel. There's much more clear parallel between what's written and what's and the Torah and the final halacha. Still, at the end of the day, I'm telling you right now, until you learn Maseches Nagoyim clearly, until you learn it and understand it properly, you'll never understand properly the Parshas Tezriah. You won't be able to understand. I learned Chumash Rashi. I've learned Chumash Rashi for years, for decades. I've tried to learn most of the Rambans. I haven't learned all the Rambans as long, but I've learned Ramban for a long time. I'm telling you right now, Parshas Tezriah, that's where it really talks about Saras. That's the main part we're talking about that. Until I learned Masechta Megillah, I didn't know what was coming off. It just doesn't go. I the Mishnah says, Hang Guvei Torah. It doesn't make a difference. Hey, Guvei Torah. After you know what Chazal did with it, then the whole thing, then you see how everything fits together. The Rashi's in Shir Shem about it. I don't want to get, you know, let's not get overly sidetracked, but this is how there's different parts of Torah. Different parts of Torah have different tastes and different things, but you're not really going to understand anything properly without Torah Shabbat. Okay. And the Parsha of Navi is not as radical as Shabbos, but it's one pasuk with Losas and Malacha, and Chazal defined Malacha. It's not Chazal, but Parsha of Malacha, we've seen that, but it's still, it doesn't say that much in Torah. Most of it's Torah Shabbat. It's not as much as Shabbos, but it's not nearly close to, for example, Tzaras, somewhere in the middle. It's closer to Tzaras than to Shabbos, but you won't really like, completely understand. But it's a good question. It's a good question. This is not a Chumash. To learn it properly, you have to understand, we'd have to, we'd have to attack each pasuk and analyze each pasuk carefully. That would take a long time. And this is a Rambam here. It's not a Chumash. That's my idea of what Chumash is supposed to be. Okay, let's go on. Okay, what is the second part of Navi Hashem, which is finally the real thing? A Navi comes and he tells us, serve Hashem! Be careful to do the mitzvahs! That's all he tells us. Like the Navi did! That's exactly what the last Navi was, Malachi. Malachi finished off by saying, Zichru Taras Moshe Avdi. Don't forget about the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nevi'im say, don't worship with Avodah Zarah, keep your mitzvahs. That's what the Nevi'im do.
You can say that without being a
Navi. Okay. Tavi wants to know, and why do you need a Navi to tell you to serve Hashem? What is the necessity of that? That's a good question. I'll answer you. That's a very good question. So the answer is like this. The answer is like this. It's a little more complicated. You know, the Navi make it sound simple. I mean, we'll see. There are two other things a Navi could do, and those we obviously need. But you could be doing something which is not openly idol worship, but it's moving towards idol worship. And the Navi will come and warn you, don't do that right now. It's very likely the Navi, instead of telling you don't do that, will tell you you're worshipping idols instead of telling you don't do what you're doing, because as what you're doing is, you know, related to idol worship. Just idol worship is very complicated.
What's an example?
For example, Takruv Echutz, being makir of a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, has a conceptual relationship to idol worship. You can be makrif to Hashem. You can think about God. You can be Hashem as much as you want. You go out, you walk out over there, kill the goat, do everything how you're supposed to, Kabbalah Saddam, Zrika, we know all the parts of the karma. I'm not enough, I should tell you guys all the parts of the karma, but all the parts of the karma that you're supposed to think about God, and that is you are Chayav Karis. Now Chayav Karis, there's also, it's also conceptually related to idol worship, and if another would come to you, he might tell you you're worshipping idols. If you're thinking about doing it already, in certain situations, another might come and say such a thing. If you're acting in a way which is which relates to Gilui Arayis, which relates to within the relations, may not be doing anything, you just might be doing something which is all the way to it. Another could come and tell you, stop that. Okay? Got it? Okay. Let's go. Now, he could also do something else. Something which is rishus. Something which is no mitzvah, or no, there's no, you know, you could do it or you can't do it. In other words, there's nothing direct in Torah about it. For example, fight the city at this time. Don't fight, or something. Or these ideas, kill this person. Don't kill these people. There's a couple of other Hebrew Rambam brings a number of examples. The Jews wanted to know after Churban Bayis Rishon, after destruction of the first base of Mikdash, they wanted to know, should they go to Egypt or not? So they asked Yirmiyah, what should we do? So that's a very classic, clear example. It's a rishus. It wasn't, there was no, there's nothing clear at that point. It was a complicated issue. So they asked Yirmiyah told them not to do it. They didn't listen. They went anyway. But they asked, that was rishus. That, the Rambam says, is a case of rishus. That is, there's not a mitzvah. There's not a nevera. You're like in the middle. Okay, in these cases, another Yechayv that was into the Navi. Now, the Rambam now is going to go back and say, and the Rambam says like this, I'm quoting now the Rambam because this is pertinent to what we talked about before. Bishvil zeh, and because of this, kashiyitun ha-Navi tainas nevuah v'l'yismach ha-sov v'adazara v'l'yosif v'tar v'l'yigur v'medum avol yomar dvar acherim k'mo shesiparnu. A Navi claims to be a prophet. He doesn't claim, has nothing to do with the Mother Zara, has nothing to do with idols, and he doesn't try to change Torah. Then it starts with Chodav Zarkadesh and Dispire of Amor. So then we need to see if he's telling us the truth, if he's really a Navi or not. Now, the Rambam then goes on and says, and before we even bother asking the Navi to prove that he's a Navi, before we bother asking him to prove he's a Navi, there is a precondition. The precondition is he has to be a person who's fitting for it. He has to be a person who's fitting for prophecy. He's smart. He has an understanding of emunah. And this is just, you know, like very aga, very like very, very on the side. I mean, just like hitting you right now. No. Emunah doesn't mean blind faith. That's not what it means. Emunah means a proper understanding of what Hashem does in the world. He has to be a person who has chachma, who has a kenyan, who has an understanding of emunah, an understanding of emunah. If you think emunah is blind faith, that means not understanding. No. Emunah doesn't mean blind faith. Emunah means proper, deep understanding of the principles of emunah. Nazirus, he's a person who's you know, somewhat separate from pleasures of Alam Haza, Seichel, intelligence, what? No, it doesn't mean Nazirus. It doesn't mean a Nazir. You do not have to be a Nazir to be a Navi. There were, Shmuel Navi was a Nazir and he was a Navi, but that's an exception, not the rule. Menorah Midas, he's a person who has good Midas. Like, and how do we know this? Because the Pasuk says, Ein a Nevuah Shara, Nevuah only comes to a person who's a Chacham, Gibor, and an Asher. Who's a Chacham, wise, Gibor, and Asher. The Rambam learns, Gibor does not mean physically strong, it means Gibor b'midozov. Gibor doesn't mean physically strong, there's no reason a Navi has to be physically strong, there's no reason a Navi has to be rich. A rich is Ezer Asher Asamach B'chalko. That's what Asher means. So the Rambam understands, Ein Nevuah Shara Ela Chacham Gibor VaAsher. It means a person who has come to control the main parts of his personality and the main parts of, you know, human endeavors in Olam Hazeh. Okay. Now, that gets back to my first. I started that. I said, before we look, we have to know, is if a person, if an illiterate shepherd comes in and claims to be a prophet, which has historically happened. I mean, it didn't happen. We don't know if it happened in the times when Chazal had, you know, ability to kill somebody. You know, do we, anyone know when Bezdin lost the ability to enforce capital punishment?
That was by
the ability to enforce capital punishment.
Bedin or Sanhedrin?
Bedin. Sanhedrin.
Is it in terms
interchangeably? Yeah, it is. You're right. But Sanhedrin, you really need a Sanhedrin, a Bedin. You need 23 people. You don't need. You're right. You don't need
70.
You know, you don't need the full 70. You need 23 people to kill somebody.
After the first destruction, I would assume.
No. About 40 years before the destruction of Baal Sheni. That's when Bezdin, when they left Lishkas HaGoz, when they saw the Romans were interfering so much in Jewish affairs here, then Bezdin said, okay, you guys are interfering. I mean, they didn't do it as like a political protest. They just felt it wasn't possible. When the Romans were interfering so much and to kill someone, anytime they want to kill someone, it would be an issue. So Bezdin had to say, okay, there's nothing we can do. They left Lishkas HaGoz. Because of that, they voluntarily left where they're supposed to sit. So we're not sitting here anymore. So we don't know, you know, historically speaking, Yashka Pandrus.
Who?
Yashka. You know who Yashka. Okay. The stories written in the False Testament about Yashka Pandrus are basically mythological. They're not, you know, there's not. They themselves admit that the stories were written down at least 100, if not more, years after he died. And the most accurate stories about him are written in Shas. And so, simply speaking, the stories, the way they're written in the False Testament, there's no reason to treat them as true, that we have to start evaluating what would or wouldn't have happened. Anyway, if a guy comes in, an illiterate shepherd, or a person who's just absolutely he's not so smart, he's not so refined, he's not a refined character, etc., etc., what would be? So, the way the Rambam sets it up, he talks about Navi Avodah Zarah, two types of Navi Avodah Zarah you kill. Navi walks in and says, I'm changing Torah, which is, by the way, it says in the False Testament a number of times, changing Torah, for example. You kill him. If the Navi says, he doesn't say any of those things, he says, do Torah, or do this, or do something which is not Torah. Go to battle today. Go today to Jericho and fight. Yahushua said you have to destroy the city of Jericho on Shabbos. And we'll get to that later on. That's Rishus. On Shabbos, that's Harasha. We'll get to that later on. In such a case, now we have to see, is this person a Navi? He has said something which doesn't contradict Torah. Is he a Navi? Now that we're trying to see, is he a Navi? Now we have a question. Is he a person who could be a Navi? And then we have a way to test him. So I personally think, if you put the Rambams together in the big picture, if a person is a Navi of Avodah Zarah, we don't care if the guy could be an ignorant shepherd, an ignorant, illiterate shepherd, an uncouth, barbaric. Anyone know anything about Rasputin?
Yeah.
Rasputin was a lowlife, a nothing. No one claimed that he was, you know, a refined person. He could be a complete lowlife, nothing. A drunk from the gutter could come up and he says another about his art to Bezdin. Bezdin should kill him on the spot. That's not something you say. Kill him on the spot. If he has everything right, he says the right claim of prophecy, right, within the parameters of what a prophet's allowed to say, then we say, okay, let's see. Now we have to test him. And he has all those different preconditions. The precondition is he a person who could be a Navi? So I think the Rambam is very clear that a person does not have to be a refined character and someone who is fitting to be a Navi in order to be a Navi Sheker. To be a Navi Amos, he does. In other words, if a guy comes in and he's able to make, as we're going to see what the Rambam is going to do, it doesn't matter if he comes up with the greatest predictions in the world. If he's not a person who's a Chacham, who's a person who's exemplary in Amuna and Nezirus and Seichel and Non-Midas. We don't care. The guy can say whatever he wants. It doesn't make a difference. This person cannot be a Navi.
Does it matter if he's Jewish?
Of course he has to be Jewish. Absolutely.
But Bilam wasn't Jewish.
What? Bilam wasn't Jewish. Good question. So Chazal asked the question. And they say Bilam is a special exception. And afterwards he was the last non-Jewish prophet, and afterwards there'll never be any other non-Jewish prophets.
Why was he allowed to be?
Oh, so that's the Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Balak. The Rashi says, the Ummas of the nations of the world wanted to know, said it wasn't fair. Jews had Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what we did so well. Give us a Navi, give us a prophet as good as Moshe, and then we can do something. So Hashem said, okay, very good. I'll give you Bilam, and we'll see what you do. And even though Bilam came, and was given prophecy, he didn't use it to as a positive force the way Moshe did, use it a positive force for the Jewish people.
Can't they still say that we didn't get as good of a prophet?
So you're asking a good question, and I'm happy to talk to you about that over dinner, Robert, or some other time. I think it's a little too much of a divergence for this year, but it's an excellent question. The key to the answer is the same thing would have happened if anyone else would have gotten it. It's a process that because Bilam, and there was a theoretical process which did exist, which Shem, Aver, etc. were able to utilize. There was a theoretical process of what is Hashem without Torah, but due to Yeridas Adaros, due to the decline of stature of man through the generations, by the time of Matan Torah, now there's no other way. The only way to do it is through Torah. This is the real answer. You want to know the real answer? I'll tell you the real answer. This is the real answer. But to explain it properly, if you don't understand it, that takes a lot longer with more discussions, etc. But that's the basis of the answer. Okay. How do we know when a guy comes and he's a real proper candidate for Nevuah and he's saying something that a Navi can say? What do we do? Do we ask him to perform a miracle similar to Moshe? What do we do? Rabbi says, no, that's not what we do. We tell him, predict the future for us. Give us some predictions. Tell us something's going to happen. In other words, he'll tell you, okay, tomorrow the Dow Jones is going to go up 375.4 points. And that's what happens. On next Wednesday, the Red Sox are going to lose to the Yankees by 2 points in extra innings. And that's exactly what happens. Okay? Well, I'm just giving practical examples for you guys to understand. More example, the Rambam would have been that next Wednesday it's going to rain for 2 hours. Okay. Now, the Rambam says, we don't ask him once or twice. We ask him many, many times. After he's shown many times that he gets it exactly right, down to the last point, then we say, okay, now we have enough. Unclear. Very unclear. The Russian Rambam here is if he has once or twice, it's not enough. So some people want to be medayik, the 3 times is. But then I say, just read another couple of words. He has to continue on many times. He has to have many mitzvahs, many accurate predictions, time after time, until he shows that he's really enough. So how many times? I don't know. Definitely, I don't think 3 is the right amount. I would say around 10 feels about the right amount to me. That's what it feels about to me. Okay. Now, we're going to go on, and we're going to show you now one of the Rambams. This is one of the biggest chidushim. This Rambam, this thing about Siram, is like just, it's an earthquake. It's like atomic. This is like a major earth-shaking chidush. I really feel it's sort of a schus to have experienced earthquake that wasn't dangerous. Do we have anyone from LA here?
San Diego.
Isaac, you're from LA?
San Diego.
San Diego, same thing. Right?
Yeah.
How many earthquakes have you been in?
They're not so strong, though.
Not so strong. You felt the building shake?
We get the ripple effects. Like,
what?
We get the little of, like...
LA gets worse than you guys?
Yeah.
Because they're closer to the side, to the fault.
Yeah, it's also a little bit up north.
Okay. You ever felt the building shake?
Yeah.
See, that's... How many times have you felt the building shake?
Six.
I mean, you know, the Pharaoh felt it once. It's really amazing. It's really, I don't know if anyone, if you're not from LA or from, you know, from California, you never felt this. You know, the building's a solid thing, you know? 5 years ago, how much 5 years ago? 5 years ago, there was an earthquake around now. Sitting up in the fourth floor of the Mir Yeshiva, and all of a sudden, it felt like someone put their hand on the building. This is a big building. And it, like, gave a couple of shakes like that. I mean, I'm not from California. I was like, wow, this is an earthquake. This is shocking. Okay, so that's what this Rambam. This Rambam is good. This Rambam shakes Torah, Mama shakes Tanakh from one side to the other with the skittish he's about to say. Says the Rambam. A Navi is told all sorts of minor, what we would think are unimportant details, and he tells them to people. Rambam says, how do I know this? How do I know that you can go ask any little question to a Navi? Let's say you're preparing Rosh Hashanah. Do you think it's nice to call Chacham Avadya, say, call, hello, Chacham Avadya, which simanim should I put out on the table? Do you think that's nice? Call up Eliyahu. Oh, Rabbi Yerusha, yeah. Should I show chicken the first night or meat the first night? Do you think that's something you should do? So now, the Rambam says, I'll show you that similar things were done with Nevi'im. The famous story of Shaul. Shaul's father lost his donkeys. The donkeys went lost. The donkeys went looking for the donkeys for 3 days. Shaul's helper says to him, you know, there's another over here called Shmuel. Let's go ask him. The rabbi has a big kasha. What in the world? You go ask Shmuel about where your lost donkeys are. You lost your watch. Lost the watch. Hey,
let's go with the
watch. That's the matter with the watch. What in the world is going on? That's a question you ask a Navi. So it's not respectful. What's going on? Okay. So the rabbi says, you see from that? Yeah, you know, because of that, you couldn't have done it. Why? Ram says, why? Because we see in Chumash, it says in Chumash, Ki Yagoyim Ha'ela Sha'atayar Shusam Amonim Okosman Yishma. The nations who you're going to inherit, they go to Ma'onim and Kosman. They go to Ma'onim and Kosman, different types of future predictors. Lo Chay, you're not like that? And instead, Nabi Mikim Amachacha Kamal Yakim Ochashem Ochacha. You're not like that? Instead, you have a Navi. Rambam says, you see what the non-Jews, what the Canaanim did, with what they went to the Ma'onim and Kosmim for, we're supposed to go to a Navi for. And therefore, as the Rambam says, just like the non-Jews went to the Ma'onim and Kosmim for little silly things, so too Hashem sent all sorts of what we would consider unimportant messages to the Navi to tell him things. Now this I want you to know. You know what this is? Because it sounds so like a major point. It just shakes Nach. It Pashit shakes the entire Nach. For example, I'll just throw out one example for you. The whole story in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel with Shmuel and Eli, with Eli and Chana. Chana is sitting and davening. It's the Haftarah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Chana is davening. It says Eli, so she wasn't saying anything. And before Chana, no one davened quietly. People only davened b'kol. People only davened out loud. Eli comes, and so the pasuk says, Eli saw her. He thought she was shikara. He thought she was drunk. He thought she was drunk. She comes to him and says to him, he comes to her. Eli comes to Chana and says to her, drunken lady, get out of here. It's not respectful. Wait till you're sober. When you're sober, you can come into the basement. But you don't go into shul when you're drunk. You don't go into Beit Knesset when you're drunk. Certainly, the basement makers don't go when you're drunk. What are you doing? So she says back to him, Lo Adoni. know my master. So the Gemara in Bracha says, you've shown that you don't have Ruach HaKadosh. You have shown you don't have Ruach HaKadosh. You should know I'm not drunk. What? You should know with Ruach HaKadosh I'm not drunk? Why should she know? Why should any know with Ruach HaKadosh she's not drunk? So according to the Rambam, very good. Because according to the Rambam, anything with a Navi. And Hashem doesn't just inform the Navim of important things. He informs the Navim of all other important things. So Chana was arguing, you're proving to me that you're not really a proper Navi. Because a proper Navi would have known, Hashem would have told him. That's what comes over and over. This Chiddush of the Rambam comes over and over and over many times. And I'm telling you, it's ma'ish earth shaking. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know it's 7 o'clock, but I hope there's gonna be a long line anyway. They're never on time, so I want to get one last piece to finish off the piece we're seeing, and that is based on the same parsha. The pasuk concludes the story with Shmuel and Shaul. When his nar told him, "Let's go to Shmuel." The pasuk says, "Let's go to the roeh. Let's go to the seer, the one who sees." And the pasuk says, and the Rambam says, we see from that, why is the Navi called a Roa? Because he sees all sorts of things, not only major events, he also sees minor events, even like, again, insignificant things. You lost your wallet, go to the Navi, he's going to tell you where it is. And that's why the Navi is called a Roa. Now there's a big problem. The pasuk really says, they used to call, what we call today a Navi, used to be called a Roa. What we call today Navi, prophet, what we call prophet, in the olden days in Israel, was called Roa, was called a seer, someone who sees. So that's a little funny, you understand? What's Pshat? If the Rambam is saying that by definition, a Navi was told all sorts of minor subsequential things, then why did it change? Why was it that if that is what a Navi is supposed to do, and there was idol worship, then you could tell me that the Navi Abai's shaming, where there wasn't idol worship, was not quite as prevalent, maybe you could start theorizing that it wasn't important for Hashem to tell the Navi all these minor things. Maybe not. That could be. You know, we could argue about it. But maybe, yeah, maybe not. But in Bais Rishon, there was, you know, Avodah Zarah and these Kochos of Tumah were at their height, and they were prevalent the entire time. And why should it have changed? Why is it? Again, the pasuk says, what we call today, Navi, a prophet, used to be called Roa. Why did it change? Okay. To just say it very b'kitzer, it's like this. Navi means preacher. Zerashi in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, middle of Parsha Shmos, Aaron Achicha Yen Neviyacha, Aaron, your brother's going to be your prophet. How's Aaron's Moshe's prophet? No, because Aaron spoke for Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was a preacher. A Navi's a preacher. Preacher means you go tell people things over and over. Until the times of Shmuel, the primary function of the Nevi'im was not to rebuke the Jewish people. The primary function was more positive. Because the primary function was more positive, therefore, until that point, they were called Roa. They were called a seer, someone who sees. After that point, as things progressed, things got worse. Then the primary function of the Navi became to be a preacher, to tell people off. And that's why instead of calling a Navi Roa, they started calling him Navi. Because Navi really means preacher. Needs to sign someone who talks a lot. Preachers talk a lot. A Navi, by definition, didn't just rebuke once. He rebuked over and over and over. Okay, fine. Okay.